right, take your Bibles and turn to John 16, if you will. We start a new series this morning, and the series is entitled The Resilient Life. The Resilient Life. John chapter 16, and we'll look in these verses in just a moment. Today's lesson is entitled, It's Who You Know. And so you'll see what we mean by that as we go through the lesson. It's good to have Brother Josiah Kennedy here. Raise your hand at us, brother. And he is from Ghana, West Africa, and pastors a very good church, an excellent church in Accra. And that's where you fly in when you fly into there. And that's where we first met each other. And he's here for the Mount of Abiram Conference. And we'll look forward to seeing his presentation tonight of his work, which is our work too. And so we're involved in that ministry. But we're honored to have you here, Pastor. So glad you're here and others that are visiting with us. Now, when we think about the word resilient, what do you think of? Probably a lot of different things. But one of the things I think of is elastic. And you pull it like that, and then as you release it, it goes back. Maybe a big old rubber band or something. It's resilient. It takes a lot of pressure and stress, and then it goes back. And that's what we go through sometimes. We have trouble. Anybody here never had any trouble? We have disappointments, don't we? But how do we react to those when we go through those? Are we resilient? And there is always a path forward. And especially for believers, and that path forward is through Jesus Christ. That's how we get through it. So the title is, It's Who You Know. Look at John 16, please. And go over to verse 29. John 16, verse 29. Let's read through verse 33. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. They had been asking about some things, and he had been speaking in proverbs, but now he's going to make some things very clear to them. And so they're asking about that. So they said, unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. We understand. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. We don't need to ask you about that anymore. We know now. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. He's telling them what they were going to do. Then he said, These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. I'm giving you this, telling you this, so you'll have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Just a guarantee. And he was talking primarily to his apostles. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, Jesus said. I have overcome the world. Aren't we all glad for that? Jesus overcame the world. And he did it with absolute total proof. And so we look at it's who you know. And the one we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of us have fear of the future, and these apostles did too. They were a little afraid of what was going to happen. And so Jesus is giving them some information. He's with them, I think, in the upper room. They probably had this misconception. They thought Jesus was going to be a political leader, and they thought Jesus was going to get Rome off of their back, and he was going to lead them and guide them and be their deliverance during that time. But Jesus was going to be betrayed and crucified. that wasn't really what they were expecting. They didn't fully understand all of that. But he told them that they were going to leave him, and he was going to leave them. He said, I'm going to leave you, and you won't see me, and then you'll see me again. And they had to try to sort of figure that one out. But he said, you're going to be scattered. And then he said, some of you are going to desert me. Look back in verse 32 at what he said to them. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come. It's fixing to happen, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Isn't that something? They were with him all that time and saw all that he did in his public ministry. But now he's saying, you're getting ready to leave me. You're going to be scattered. And that was a prophecy, really, of what was going to happen. And he told them that there in verse 32. And so, like us, from faith to doubt was where they went. Many of us do that. When we go through troubles and trials and difficulties, we go from faith to doubt when it doesn't turn out the way we thought it should turn out. And things aren't as good as we thought they should be. And there's doubt that comes into our mind. A lot of life is confusing. You ever been confused about some things in your Christian life? Surely you have. I have, and I'm sure that you have. Confusion and some doubt and disappointments and all of that. So Jesus was arrested, and the disciples did what? They scattered. They did scatter. So Matthew 26:56, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Even Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that's in Matthew 26, and I'm sure you're familiar with that and you can read it. But he denied Christ those three times. But this was not the end of it. His death was not the end of it. Thank God for the resurrection. He wasn't going to stay in the tomb. He was God, and he was coming out of that tomb. All but Judas really became evangelists. Judas, of course, betrayed him, but the rest of them began to preach the gospel. What motivated them when they were running and they were cowards? What changed them? What made them want to go preach the gospel? Well, obviously, it was the resurrection. And so they began to preach and spread the gospel, and they had this resilience that God gave them where they bounced back from terrible disappointment to them in their way of thinking. And so we need that resilience too, because sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we have questions. Sometimes we have some problems that come in our lives, turmoil, and we just have to turn it over to God. Now, if you meet somebody that says, no, I don't have any problems, never have had, don't have any now, I would say that person's a fake. They're not telling you the truth. They may have great victory over it, but we all have difficulties. We all have disappointments and problems. But Jesus, immediately after he told them that, encouraged them in verse 33. Look at it again. So he said, these things I have spoken unto you, told them what they were going to do, and they were going to leave him alone. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. You're going to have it. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Are you of good cheer this morning? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We should all be cheerful because of the reality of that fact. And so because he overcame, we can overcome. And it's our relationship with him. And it was their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and his presence with them that guaranteed they could have victory and overcome the world. It isn't easy always to live the Christian life, but resilience comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have it from him. Now, again, let's go back to this theme. It wasn't what they knew. It wasn't what they knew. They knew a lot. That's not what did it. It wasn't what they knew, but it was who they knew. They knew there was a real resurrected Christ who overcame death. And so That same Christ offered them help, and he offers you help today too. I don't know what you're going through today. A lot of you have different problems. Most of us have some disappointments, some difficulties that we're facing, maybe health issues, whatever it may be. But Christ will help us be resilient in those times. And so we'll learn about in this series about other people that were that way. So we see, first of all, the provision of peace. The provision of peace. Christ offers that in John 16:33. He said, "These things I have spoken unto you." Why? "That in me you might have peace." Where do we find that peace? How do we find it? Where do we find it? A, in your outline, or your next point there, is the providence of God. We find peace in accepting the providence of God. If you knew 20 years ago what you experienced last year, would it really have helped you? If you'd have known it 20 years ago, if God had revealed to you what was going to happen to you and what happened to you last year, and you know what your life was like last year, would it have helped? I really doubt that it would have helped. Young people always want to know the future. What's my future? How much money am I going to make? My education and all of that. They want to know that, but older people like me and some of you, we have already lived out most of our future, haven't we? And so we look back on that, and we could not see it. And I'll tell you, I'm glad I couldn't see all of my future, because I wouldn't have been able to have handled it back then. It's probably good that we couldn't see it. We're not prepared in advance for some of the life-shattering things that we go through, and then some life-shattering news that we get. But who sees the future? God does. God, there's all of the future. God always has been, is, always shall be. And he sees all of the future. That's God. And so we have to realize that. Now, since God does that, he does allow some of the difficult things. And so God has a purpose in what he allows. What he's doing, he's been preparing us in his foreknowledge for what was going to come up, what was going to happen. And he's been getting us ready for it. He told these men the bad news, but he didn't do it to scare them. He did it to show them that their source of peace was him. That's what he said in verse 33. So there's a connection between God's providence for our lives and peace. A connection between God's providence and peace that we have in our life. Providence comes from two Latin words, pro, and that means before, and videre, which means to see before. God is a God of providence. God sees before, providence and peace. And you know, God is never surprised. Never. You can't surprise God. He has all knowledge and foreknowledge, but he uses that foreknowledge to direct our future for our good. And of course, the main purpose we're here is for his glory. For our good, for his glory. Now you think about Joseph. Look what happened to him. Everybody always goes back to that. I can't find any better illustration, but it shows us how God, what seemed to be defeat turned into victory, and God allowed this, and God raised him up. And you can't explain that other than the providence of God, how this guy, Joseph, could wind up being the second man in the most powerful government on the face of the earth during that time. And he winds up being the second man. How do you explain that? The providence of God. Did God know that was going to happen to Joseph? Yes, he did. He allowed it to happen. And then he saved his whole family and really the whole world back then. They were coming to him from starvation. So God providentially used what was meant for harm. And Joseph would have to have faith in that, and I believe he did. Genesis 5:20, he said, "But as for you, you thought evil against me." That was your purpose. You were jealous and envious. But God meant it unto good to do what? To bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. He said, I was a guy of faith. I just kept trusting God. And look where God's put me and what he's done. Romans 8:28, we know that some things... No, I'm sorry, I quoted it wrong. We know that what? All things, good things, bad things, pleasant things, things we'd rather not have, tragedies, whatever. All things work together for good to them that love God. That's a qualifier. It's primarily for those who are saved and Christians, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There was a high school boy in New York, and he broke his nose. And they let him out of school so he could go get it taken care of, to go to a clinic. But after he had it treated, he decided to go to the zoo, the Bronx Zoo. And as he went through the turnstile, he was surrounded by officials, a lot of officials at the zoo, photographers, newspaper people from the New York Press, all of that. And so as it turned out, he was the 100 millionth visitor to the zoo. And since its foundation, and he was presented with a life membership in the New York Zoological Society, a life membership. Get in there free the rest of his life. And made sort of a prestigious award. Well, that never would have happened had God not allowed him to break his nose and then him to decide to go there. It's just a simple way. We experience difficulties, and God takes those difficulties and bring those difficulties to us, for us, and helps us. I've shared this story with you before, but when I was a senior in high school, or just had graduated, I was supposed to come on to Bible college, and I was being a little rebellious, very rebellious about it. And I've told you this, that my best buddy wanted us to go work on the pipeline. He had two brother-in-laws that worked there and would get us a job in Alaska overnight. We could just go there, and he said, let's buy us a Corvette. And boy, I'm telling you, it sounded so good, and everything was enticing. And I decided, well, I'm going to do that instead of go to Bible college. And I remember telling my mother, and she cried, and I felt bad about that. But the Lord said, I got plans for you. And so I was working at this Gulf station, and a car came in loaded with, it was a station wagon, loaded with children, two ladies up front. And she said, my car's running hot. She said, would you mind checking it? And I said, sure. And I ran around there. She popped the release, and I raised the hood, and I reached down and turned that deal, supposed to be the first notch, so the spew and the, you know, it would let the pressure off. Well, somebody had jammed it on there, and when I did that, it popped off and just scalded my face. I didn't wear glasses then, and you know what I thought of immediately? Yes, Lord, I hear you. I hear your voice. And so my daddy had to come lead me like a little child to the clinic. And I got all that old yellow salve on my face. And then he drove me home. I went and got in my bed in the bedroom. And after a while, I called him, and he came to the door. And he said, yeah. I said, I believe I go to Bible college. That's the truth. And he said, well, I've been a-praying. That's all he said. Turned around and walked off. Well, why did God let that happen to me that day? And you know, I believe God got some angel to jam that thing on there or something. But it God used it for me to straighten up. And I told my buddy, I'm not going with you. I'm going where I belong. And he wound up driving me out here. I never forget it. So anyway, but Romans 8:28 is true. So the ultimate example of providence is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had that plan in his providence before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1:19 and verse 20, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. That was part of the providence of God, and God used that. Satan had other plans. And Satan wanted to destroy him, wanted to destroy us and take us all to hell. But it's wonderful to know that God is in control of all of that. Amen? And he was in control of this. And so he provides that resilience and the ability for us to bounce back. He said, these things I've spoken unto you so you can have peace. I've told you about it. So in the providence of God, and then in the person of Christ, peace in the person of Christ. And that's what he's saying in that. And so in the latter part, he talks about that peace of God, that in me you might have peace. So it's really found in a relationship. Peace is found in a relationship with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 1 and 2. And this is talking about salvation. That's where it starts, at salvation. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's where it all starts, at salvation. That's where the peace begins. And it's called the peace with God. There's a peace of God is one thing. The peace with God is another thing. And you don't get peace with God by trying to do good deeds or appeasing God like these other religions try to appease their gods. You don't get peace that way. And you don't just try to do more good than bad and the balance weighs it out. If you go that route, two things are going to happen to you. Number one, you're going to be filled with pride and brag and say, I can get to heaven on my own, and that's a lie. And number two, you're going to be afraid all the time. Have I kept enough works, or what works do I keep, or what is required? What does God say I have to do, and how much is good enough, and all of that? There's no peace in that. There is peace, though, in accepting Christ as your Savior, in knowing he's paid for your sin debt. I have great peace today to know that if I die, I'm going to heaven. And what greater peace could you have than to know that you're going to spend eternity in heaven and not in hell? That's the greatest peace on the face of the earth. So it's not through a church. It is not found through religion. It is not found through our efforts, but it's found in a person. And that person, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. We were separated by sin. God was not just going to overlook that sin. He could not. He's righteous and holy. He must deal with our sin. God would not overlook it, but his love made him give his son to die for us so that we could have that reconciliation and that peace. So Jesus died for our sins, Romans 5:8. That God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For whom? Us sinners. And that's what we are. So he rose from the dead 3 days later, and he offers forgiveness, and he offers reconciliation. Romans tells us that in Romans 5:10 through 11. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. There are two important words. One is the word reconciled. The other is the word atonement. Reconciled, atonement. Reconciled, atonement. Reconciled means we've been returned to favor with and bringing together those who were at variance, received one into favor. We're reconciled. We were out of favor, and because of Christ, we are now in favor with the Lord. In atonement, that's an adjustment of a difference, a reconciliation, a restoration to favor. We are at odds with God. We were alienated from God, but through the atonement, we were brought together with him. A restored relationship, atonement. Here's a quote that I have, and it says, an atonement is a result or product of having been made one. Here in Romans 5:11, the result of being made one with God is available in this life. How? Through Christ. That's just it. And so that's the way we are reconciled. So we have peace with God, and that's fairly simple. That is trusting Him as Savior. He gives us eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior, Romans 6:23. And so it's a gift. And what do you do for a gift? You receive it. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. You receive that gift. But as many as received Him, if you receive Him, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so in life we have that in salvation. And then we have the peace of God. The peace of God. Peace with God through Christ, the peace of God. And that is in me. He said that you might have peace. Well, God gives us that peace in our lives. He doesn't always change our circumstances, but He gives us a peace in our relationship with Him, and that's through Christ. Where does it start? Again, it's salvation. But then this peace that goes with us the rest of our life follows us all our life. We have that peace of God, and then we have the peace with God, and then the peace of God in our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to fill us with His peace. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit wants us to have peace and joy. Do you have those things today? Peace and joy. And it comes through our relationship. So it's not what you know that brings peace. It is who you know. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then not only the provision of peace, but the presence of tribulation. The presence of tribulation. How would you envision peace? What if somebody said, tell me what peace is? A lot of us would say it's not having to go to work, and we're going to the beautiful mountains of Colorado, and there's a lovely lake, and there are the mountains back in the background, maybe a little snow on top of them. We can just lay back and relax and have peace. That's a temporal thing at best, and it's not going to be that way. A long time ago, a man sought the perfect picture of peace. And there were a lot of different artist revelations and paintings and all about that. And they uncovered one scene after another. And then a mirror smooth like lake reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of evening sky. This is a description of what it was. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely this was the winter. But it was not the winter. And the winter was what we wouldn't think of. And this man, one artist in the vision, uncovered the painting, and the crowd was real surprised. Could that possibly be peace? What was it? It was a roaring waterfall, and it came down a rocky precipice, all of that. And the crowd could almost feel the cold of it penetrating the spray toward them as you looked at that picture. It was a stormy gray scene. Had rain, had thunder, all of that, clouds and everything, and the water coming past it. But in that artist had captured a little bird. A little bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch that was there. And content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs. With her eyes closed, the little bird, and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifested peace that transcended all of the earthly turmoil that was around her. And so that's the kind of picture of peace we should have. Not just the beautiful lake and the mountains, But right in the midst of storms and all of that, whatever it may be, we should still have peace. And that peace comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Going to Him, He gives the tranquility that we need. And He said, I've spoken these things to you that you may be worried to death and depressed and discouraged. No, I've spoken these things to you that you may have peace, that you may have real peace, the peace of God. That's not emotions, and that's not pretense. It is a real peace that comes when we are in trouble. And then the presence of tribulation. Tribulation in faithfulness. Tribulation in faithfulness. A in your outline. Even though we're being faithful, we think, well, if I'm faithful to God, I'm not going to have any trouble. Even though we're being faithful, tribulation is going to come. John 16:1-4. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. You didn't need to know that then. I was with you. But he told him, he said, I'm going away, and you need to know that I'm still your source of peace. You have to believe and trust in me. And then in Matthew 23:34, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. And by the way, he's saying it's not just the apostles that were going to face that, but all Christians will face things like that. We will face it if we're doing the right thing, if we're really sincere, if we're really on fire for God. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall have it easy the rest of their life. No, shall do what? Suffer persecution. If you're really living for God, I mean really taking a stand, speaking up, living right, And no matter where you are at work or among your relatives or whatever it may be, then you can count on it. You're going to have, if you really follow the Lord, I mean follow Him, walk in His steps, you're going to face some persecution. And it's going to come. And that's what He's telling them. But where do we get our peace? He said, my peace I leave with you. It's the peace that we get through knowing our relationship. Not what we know, but who we know. And it's the Lord Jesus that I'm glad I know Him. Aren't you glad you know Him? We'll stop there today and finish this lesson next week. That's about as far as we can go today. So bring your outline back and handout. And then if you don't have it, if you forget it, we'll have some more ready for next week. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You leveled with Your apostles and told them what they were going to do. But You also told them that You were going to give them that strength by Your resurrection so that they could be resilient and they could come back away from their disappointment and their trial and all that was going on, and that they would have peace, peace that You give, and peace that only You can give our hearts. Thank You today for the peace that we have. Oh, wonderful peace, peace that cannot be purchased with all the gold in Fort Knox, peace that only You can give to those who have believed and who are walking in Your fellowship and in Your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.